the newest episode of Rule of Three. That's two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. I'm Brian Miller. I'm here with Tim Slagle, as always. Slightly different day, right? We're mixing it up slightly. Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were out and about, correct?
I was on the road, and I had forgotten to pack my microphone.
Ah? Where were you on the road?
I've done it before. I did the historic Holly Hotel last weekend.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that gig before.
Yeah, it's a real interesting gig. I really I always enjoy it, and then afterwards, my mom she's got some 4th of July entertaining coming up, so she needed a little help around the house
with
stuff that I'm good at. She wanted to upgrade the TV set. That was fun.
Yeah.
I got to haul out an old Sony Vega TV,
like a box TV, or was it flat?
Kinda, yeah. It looks flat, but it had like a back on it because it wasn't an LCD.
Yep.
It was like a projector because they didn't make LCDs that big back then. Yeah. So it, I thought I wanted it. Until I tried to pick it up.
Yeah, you're like, no, I'm moving this one time only. Well, speaking of 4th of July, that's a good tease. We're going to be talking about the 4th of July later and about a celebrity encounter with Bigfoot. Well, I guess Bigfoot's a celebrity, Ooh. So technically any encounter with Bigfoot is a celebrity encounter with Bigfoot. But this is a celebrity on parabiological celebrity crime. So this should be interesting. But the first story we got here, I read the story. I was actually proofreading it. I read it before it came out for City Pages, the newspaper that I proofread for. And I was reading it. I was like, file this away for a Rule of Three story. This is an interesting sort of story about how myths get spread.
When's the article coming out?
It's out now. It's in the new issue of City Pages, and it's online as well. So I've got it pulled up on the website here. So the Super Bowl is coming in Minneapolis, and I was just stuck in traffic because they're working on every single street in Minneapolis. Crazy road construction.
It's kind of like I hate to interrupt you, and this is kind of going a little further if you're preparing for a party. There's a game that we all play when we're having a party called that I like to call "We Don't Live Like That."
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Put your
and
best
it's
foot
where
forward.
It's where you make the place make your place look like it never ever does otherwise, and it would seem the city's doing that. And the interesting thing in here's a little warning: you go to somebody's house for a party and you go, gosh, you think they could have cleaned or something? Here's the bad news: they did.
Yeah, right.
That is the best they were able to get it within the time constraints.
There's like a tangential or like a cousin to that is if you're a pet owner, there is a game you play when company's over called, "Oh, we don't let the kitties do that." Where they get up on the counter like, "Oh goodness, I would never let the cats walk on the counter where I made the dinner we're eating." "Oh, kitty, get down." And normally, he's up there and you're like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, whatever, Buster."
Does that when there's company.
Yeah, exactly. So we definitely do that. So the Super Bowl coming up, big deal, and they're working on all the roads. And of course, the Super Bowl brings in a ton of tourism and traffic. And it famously the accepted wisdom, it's kind of I would say almost an urban legend really at this point, is that the Super Bowl is this massive hub of sex trafficking and prostitution. And there's a certain basic logic there, right? Which is, all right, a lot of tourism, a lot of party. Anybody who can afford to go to the Super Bowl is rich and thus could afford the services of a call girl,
Probably rich, probably middle-aged or better.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not terribly attractive. Probably has no game. And is probably not bringing the wife and kids.
Yes, they're probably just glad to be away from the wife as well. And that's probably a big part. With these rich guys, I'm guessing that's the thought, and it makes a certain basic logical sense, right? Like you hear that, and I think that's why the rumor persists so well. Is that you're like, yeah, and then you're like, football. Everyone loves to point out all the evils of football. It's a very popular kind of thing to do.
Well, there was that one statistic. That domestic violence during the Super Bowl spiked. And that one went coast to coast for weeks. And when somebody finally looked for the source of that, the person said, "No, I just assumed it did. I didn't do any research."
Yeah, exactly. And so there's the story. The City Page, which was quite good, was in the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl in Dallas in 2011. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott called the game the greatest show on earth and the single largest human trafficking incident in the United States. So a Dallas police sergeant told the Dallas Morning News that he expected between 50 and 100,000 prostitutes to come to town, which is a shocking number, especially when you consider that any given football stadium holds about 60,000 people. So you're telling me there's going to be a surplus of 40,000 prostitutes?
That's the thing, is a certain percentage of the guys are saying, well, while I'm going to splurge, might as well go for that fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, so, do you think there's 100,000 prostitutes in America? That's a big number.
Well, I think that's where it depends on where you put the cutoff point.
Sure, I'm counting
what actually is a prostitute? I mean, there's no there. You know, people kind of think whore, not whore. That's pretty much your choices. But there are certain levels of prostitution. There's the call girl where you actually are hired. You know. Get a W-2 every year. Have your taxes removed from your paycheck. You know, there is, I guess that would definitely be whore. But, you know, it goes all the way down to, you know, a girl that likes to drink but never has enough money to drink as much as she'd like. And so she basically finds someone to supply her with alcohol for the evening. So there's all sorts of levels in between.
Sure. But even if we're counting on the Vegas definition, I mean, 100,000, I mean, maybe there's more than that, but like, and then that's 100,000 theoretical prostitutes with the means to travel to a different city. So that kind of eliminates people who are like working the streets, homeless people, stuff like that. I mean, I look at it and you go like, that's obviously false on its face.
When you figure there's 70,000, okay, 70,000. If you assume that there's 70,000 potential Johns sitting in the stadium that are going to want a good time after the show's over, you don't need 70,000. You know,
yeah.
Five real good ones could probably do.
How industrious people are. Well, so it says, within hours of the game, police had run the numbers. In a span of about 2 weeks, a total of 59 people had been arrested on prostitution-related charges. 13 were Johns. 3 were busted on outstanding warrants and believed to be pimps. You get the same thing in Santa Clara, California. There were 14 arrests or citations for prostitution-related offenses. Over a 10-day period in the Super Bowl in Houston, police made 107 arrests. Only 21 involved vice prostitution. I mean, you're talking about – you're assuming there's a handful of these going on every day or every week in a big city. Just interesting. Like, the myth totally persists despite there being absolute – and I would – look, I can't imagine it doesn't go up a skosh.
Sure.
But – it's interesting to see this idea that does – because it has a certain logic, it makes you feel smart. Like you hear the fact and you're like, yeah, I'm smart. I know this thing. It makes sense. It's very logical. I'm hip to what's secretly going on. And in reality, it's like, no, man.
that is interesting. I have also heard during Super Bowl is that Vegas has a hard time keeping their strip clubs staffed.
Yeah, I would believe that. I mean, that's like a comedy club on St. Patrick's Day. You know, everyone's got something else to do.
No, but I mean, yeah, it sure.
Yeah. That's so enough. Apparently, the you know, here's my vow to the listeners. As the Super Bowl comes up, I'm going to keep my eye open to see any number tens of thousands of prostitutes roaming the streets, and if I see in the thousands of prostitutes strolling about, I shall report back. But until then, segment is done. See you on the next episode.
Yeah, I look my best in my party dress and pretend I like the halftime show. Now I got a purpose. Thank God for the Super Bowl.
And on the second segment of Rule of Three, before we get to the 4th of July, part of me still thinks this is a hoax, except there's a trailer for the show. Like, I still think I'm going to get fake news on this one and look like an idiot next week. But apparently Rob Lowe has a new TV show coming out where he and his sons traipse about America hunting for the paranormal. And according to Rob Lowe, he encountered Bigfoot. And it will be – there's some footage of some kind of it that will air in the final episode. So Rob Lowe – so it occurred to me, by the way, that if Rob Lowe has Bigfoot footage, it'll still be – the second most scandalous tape he's ever been a part of.
It's I can't for the life of me, I cannot understand the fascination with the paranormal shows. It's I know they exist. Occasionally, I'll go through the channels and I'll sit on one for a couple minutes. But I mean, it's like they tease you through the whole thing. Is, you know, there we were in the woods, and there were lots of broken sticks, and it looked like, you know, a path that a Sasquatch might, and you know, and then they break the commercial and they come back and they review the broken sticks, and they said, so were we finally getting close? And then you watch the whole show, and it's almost kind of like if you watch more than one episode of that, you're going to have the same disappointment as someone watching Twin Peaks, hoping that it's going to be rectified by the end of the episode.
Yeah, right. It's called Finding Bigfoot, not Found Bigfoot.
I know. So it's all teaser. I mean, that's the whole thing. We're going to watch this whole show that's nothing but a teaser. It's, oh, this might be the episode.
It's like, yeah, if you went to Baskin Robbins and they just eternally scooped your ice cream slowly into a cup, and you're like, oh boy, this ice cream is going to be really good. And they close the store up and like, oh, no, we're done. Sorry, I haven't finished scooping your ice cream here. Like, that sucks. The great Dana Gould has a really great bit about reality shows, but in kind of in the course of it, he makes the point where he goes, look, if anything of any consequence was actually going to happen in this show, you would have already heard about it in the news.
Right.
They're all pre-taped. Nothing.
Right.
If no one's going to die, you would have heard someone dies on Survivor while they were filming it.
Right. Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like the old Star Trek episodes. Where you know at least those four are going to get off the planet.
Yeah. And so then you combine that with Bigfoot, which is something that people haven't been able to – don't you – I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I mean, if there were big feet, wouldn't we – we just would have stumbled across a dead one. A trucker would have hit one.
Well, you know, somebody pointed something out. I've heard it, and I've repeated it several times, and it might have even on occasion made it sound like I thought of it myself, but I haven't, is that it's really amazing that all these people stopped seeing Bigfoot and UFOs right about the time that everyone had a camera on them 24/7.
Yeah, like at this point, we should – if there were UFOs, we should have some pretty darn good video. That's a great point. But yeah, everybody, like, think about,
you know, about, I could see you can still run with the vampires if you want. You know, you want to still say that you know that there's vampires, that's okay. But Sasquatch, which is actually supposed to be real. It's supposed to be a real beast. No photos. Ditto for a UFO, aliens, unless they're vampire aliens, in which case, right. Yeah.
Oh, they totally wipe your phone when they come out, man. They totally wipe your phone. Pancake theory. Building couldn't have fallen like that. Who even blew up Building 7? Was it Giuliani? You know, like this, it's always funny. Those conspiracy theories always get lumped together. Like, you're talking about Bigfoot, and all of a sudden you're on, like, you're on, like, moon landing or something. You're like, what the hell? How did we get here?
Yeah, the Illuminati, man. They don't want us to know about Bigfoot because it's a civilization that pre-existed, and they destroyed it, and they know that if we find them, they'll rat them out.
Yeah, and, like, what's the... There's no angle in hiding Bigfoot from us. It's just a beast.
Yeah.
You know? Like, honestly, it would make more sense if they tried to hide sharks from us. You know? Like, they're trying to keep the tourism up and, like, oh, there's definitely not a missile-shaped eating machine that darts through the water and pulls people to the briny deep. That I get. There's no Bigfoot. There's no angle in hiding it from us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, near as I can figure, is that... Somebody put on a costume and took a grainy picture, and it started a myth that persists to this day, is that I believe, and this is something I would have to go back and research, but I believe that King County, Washington, which is the county that includes Seattle, actually put Bigfoot on the endangered species list.
Well, I suppose he's probably pretty endangered.
Well, that's exactly what they said. They said, you know, the fact that, you know, they said, well, you know, we don't even know if this creature exists. And they said, ah, that proves how endangered it is.
How are we even not
a fan? There are so few big
feet.
I don't know the plural.
Yeah, big feet.
Foots? Don't know.
Is it like Big's left. Foot, like passersby?
maybe in Italy.
Yeah.
That's only evidence of why they need protection. And they actually passed county council.
Do you think it's possible that Rob Lowe is only doing this because he's out searching the world for a new kind of creature he hasn't had sex with yet? But he's so bored with humans at this point that he's like, all right, I got to find something new.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's woken up with a Sasquatch or two.
I joke about Rob Lowe. I like Rob Lowe. I think he's a funny actor and everything. But, like, and then what are the chances that if after all these years someone definitively proved the existence of Bigfoot, that it would be an already extant celebrity? Like, how strange would that be?
He's doing it with his kids?
Yeah, I mean, this strikes me as like a way to get your kids paid.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great vehicle for doing that. It's a great vehicle for he's offered the contract and then says, "Well, I'm just going to take scale."
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I got how old are his kids?
They're adult sons here. It doesn't say their ages, but I see there's a picture of them and they're definitely they're young adults.
Yeah, So he's probably pained by the fact that that they're just kind of hanging around for him to waiting for him to die.
Yeah, yeah. This is how you get the kids out of the house.
Don't you guys want to go like get a job and earn money? It's like, no, we don't have to, Dad. You're gonna die.
Yeah, it's only being A&E, by the way. And A&E said in a news release that the show's 9 episodes will tackle aliens, remote viewing, and angry, vengeful spirits.
Wow.
Remote viewing as an A&E isn't even getting remotely the views that it used to.
A&E that was supposed to originally be like a PBS, right?
Uh-huh. Arts and Entertainment, right? Yeah, you know, they would run a lot of like Poirot and, you know, higher minded. You know what the Mangino line that they crossed was Law and Order. They got so deep on the Law and Order that at some point it was just like, all right, documentaries.
They became the Law. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were like the Law and Order channel. And that's kind of what they became named for. But yeah, I remember it used to be like the kind of thing that was kind of stuffy. And now it's Rob Lowe trying to find Bigfoot. I just feel like that headline should be a bigger news story nationally.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you, you know, you put Rob Lowe on a show like that, you're going to expect that that you know people are going to cover it. It's just like one of those weird juxtapositions.
Yeah,
it's a person person's career almost wrecked by a video, now being resurrected with one.
Yeah,
isn't he the current colonel?
He might be. He's a working guy. He's busy. He's a funny TV actor, you know. So I think you're right. It's definitely got to be a kid's thing. Although maybe next week we'll see a thing like a Judd Nelson solves the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle in a John boat. You're like, oh. So stay tuned for more mysteries next week, and stay tuned for the next segment. We'll be coming back to you momentarily.
We will not have an episode next week. This one will go up, and we're gonna. Did we decide to do that?
We didn't decide to do that. I think because I have a weird schedule because of this weekend because the it's a 4-day weekend really.
Yeah, yeah. For most people, for most people that have that ability to take off the, some people might actually want to go to work on Monday because nothing's gonna get done. You know, there's going to be no one there to supervise you.
Oh, so, yeah, that's true.
Unless you're in retail, it's probably a very easy day if you go in on the 3rd. But I think everybody knows, but in case you haven't figured it out, 4th of July is coming up next Tuesday. So we're not going to, we're going to take the week off. 4th of July is... an interesting holiday for me because, first of all, it does not suit well to the National Holiday Act. Whereas President's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, we can all move those to Martin Luther King Day. We can all move every one of those to the Monday.
Yeah, the first Monday in blah, blah, blah. The third Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas, for some reason, people will not. Christmas and New Year's, people will not stand for that. It's like, no, you're not moving Christmas to the first Monday near the 25th. And there's one other holiday. And I think the only reason is that we've decided to call that rather than Independence Day, we call it the 4th of July.
Oh, that's interesting. That if it was called Independence Day, people would be willing to, we're celebrating Independence Day on a Monday instead of a Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're calling it the 4th of July so that 200 years from now, you won't be able to screw with it.
Yeah.
It happens on the 4th day of July.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Isn't it? Yeah, because you would celebrate Independence Day. You would know what the day was as a historical fact, you know. But you're right.
But you would say, oh, this is which Monday is this? And this is the Independence Day Monday, but it's the 4th of July, so it floats. So it floats not as badly as Easter, but it does it does float. So it's I planned a I would have a party for a number of years, I after doing it for about 12 years, I knew which day to put it on, the party on.
Sure,
because it requires some logistics. When it's on a Tuesday like this, the party would be on Monday.
Sure.
Because most people would have Monday off so that the people that did could start the party early. Those that did not could come by after work. And everybody had the next day off to get back to whatever they would do. And stopped having the party for the reason why I wanted to talk about is the guy across the street did not care for my 4th of July parties as much as I did.
Oh.
And he said that it made his dog nervous when the fireworks went off, because we would go crazy. It's back when I started doing the party. My state was one of the few states where you could buy fireworks. It's sure. now it's Now they're pretty much everywhere, but it was kind of a unique thing, is that people could, you know, come in and we'd pass the hat around and we would blow stupid money on 10 spectacular minutes.
Oh, that's the way to do it too. Just boom, boom. You know, just go all in as a So to me, that's actually the more considerate thing to do, like you said, is to have 10 big minutes. We're like, yeah, the guy's dog's nervous for 10 minutes. Life goes on. It's more frustrating when you got the guy who's just kind of drinking and shooting off a Roman candle and a bottle rocket every 30 seconds for like 4 hours.
No, we had some good stuff, and unfortunately, a lot of the stuff would fall on his house.
Sure, there is that, the cinders and whatnot.
Plus, his dog didn't care for them, and plus, like I think I mentioned, he was a Korean War vet. I don't think he really cared for him either, but he did not want to admit it.
That one I'll definitely give him. I'm not gonna criticize that part. Although patriotic. I get it.
And about 3 years ago, his wife passed away, and he came over.
Was it fireworks related?
No. It was about 2 weeks. It was about 2 weeks before, and the poor guy, not to bring this down, but he was just so stricken with grief.
Oh,
and he was so furious with me, is that he made me promise I would never do that again.
Oh, so you think it got kind of tangled up a little bit, like emotionally, as it were?
Oh gosh, you know, yeah, no, he was absolutely furious with me. And here's a little touching tale. Is that he? Because normally, what I would do is the next morning, and it was always the worst part of the party, is I would go out in the street with a broom.
Oh, sure, that's responsible, and sweep up all the parts and burn cinders.
Yeah,
whatnot.
And basically, I wasn't really doing anything. I was just walking back and forth with a broom, mm-hmm. so that everybody could see that I.
yeah.
And then I'd go on people's lawn with a bag, and I'd pick up, you know, anything I could see. You know, and I'd sweep their drives, and you know, and you as best I could use the leaf blower so everyone knew I was out there. So
sure,
you know, so gave the appearance of concern. But he was he dragged me to his backyard, and said, "Look at this crap all over my deck." And I looked at the deck, and what had happened was his wife had hanging pots. And a lot of the flowers had fallen off. And basically, she would go out there for coffee every morning and pick up all the flowers that had fallen.
Oh.
And he didn't realize, he blamed me for all the brightly colored things all over the deck.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah, kind of. And I said, right there, I said, okay, I got to, there's nothing I can do. I got to promise the guy I wouldn't do it again. And
yeah, that's like a Raymond Carver story.
Yeah, he passed away. He passed away earlier this year.
Was it fireworks related? Sorry, I just keep trying to bring it back to that for no reason.
No, and but now everyone's made different plans. So even though we could probably have the party this year, we will not have the party.
Maybe next year you can prep people.
Maybe. I did tell a few people my contract is no longer binding.
Yeah, no, that was nice of you. That was good. At first I was like, screw that guy, but it's the right call for sure.
It was just, yeah, he was so, you know. And then this was funny too. I guess I could say this. He said, "If you do it again, I'm not going to call the cops because I got some guys that can take care of it better." And I mentioned that to a friend of mine, and she said, "Really? Are the guys he knows his age too?"
That's what I was thinking.
You're gonna be roughed up by the walker mob. Get over here, boy! When I catch you, bust your kneecaps.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, that's like this is like a plot of like a Morgan Freeman movie. Like the old guys have to get together to beat up one last dude.
But yeah,
Jack Nicholson and James Garner.
So that's that. It's I noticed when I was driving through Michigan, I noticed that the they got all the tents up. We don't have tents here. You do tents in Minnesota too, right? You have fireworks tents?
I think we're pretty strict on the fireworks purchases in Minnesota. I think you got to scooch over to Wisconsin or Iowa, land of no laws.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think I don't ever really see. No, I don't think we do the fireworks thing here. I think you got to go down over to Hudson or downstate.
But is it tents or is it or they actually have facilities? Because we've got facilities.
Oh yeah, like Missouri has like, gosh, you know when you cross over to Missouri because like every third building is a giant metal barn that sells fireworks all year round. Like, how the hell are all these fireworks places staying open in November? Baffling.
I think they're funded in part by the Darwin Society.
It's one of those things where you like, literally think to yourself, "Oh, I hope that's a meth front, because otherwise, those people are just not doing well."
I don't think I have time to go off. We could talk about that next year, I guess, because I think we're coming close to the end of the podcast. All the episodes at timslagle.com. Leave some comments. Tell us what you think, what you like, what you don't like. You can leave comments there. You can leave them on the Podbean site. You can even Twitter us.
Yeah.
At Tim Slagle, that's me.
And at Real Brian Miller with a Y, with me. And my website, brianmillercomedy.com. The website, the episodes post up there as well.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. Happy 4th of July.